Let us pray. Oh, now, gracious God, may we long to hear your word alive, and may it find new home in us to be lived. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. My earliest memory of the word friend comes from my first years in Sunday school at church. Our teachers knew that little kids like the subject of friends. And so they talked to us about being good friends, and they told us Bible stories about great friendships, and they had us learn Bible verses like, "A friend loveth at all times." And we sang about friends and about how Jesus is our friend. One of our Sunday school songs was, "My best friend is Jesus." And in big church, we got to sing it with the grown-ups, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And another hymn that said, "When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend." All this about friendship and Jesus as our friend was planted deep in the soul of my little self before the time that I could read. So the thought of being a friend was joyous to me, and how thrilling it was for me to know that Jesus was my friend. And I doubt that is how the disciples felt when Jesus started calling them his friends. I think they were shocked when he said it, and uncomfortable, and maybe even scared. Put yourself in their position. Jesus, they know, is not their equal. They are in awe of him. The power of his goodness overwhelms them. His words move them to the depths. There is power flowing from him that can heal the sick and lift burdens of sadness away. Even the dead hear his voice and live. There is a ferocity in him and astonishing joy and impossible depths of understanding, authority, stillness, and in his love, there is something sovereign. The stature of his mind and his spirit are far beyond their reach. They are in awe. And now at a table, with lengthening shadows, he has broken bread and poured a cup of wine and given it to them, and he has moved among them and washed their feet and taken his place and told them he would soon lay down his life. They are horrified and confused. And gazing at them now with those penetrating eyes, he says, "And you are my friends. Not my servants anymore. I call you my friends." And it's like out of nowhere, he has knighted them. He has elevated them to a position beside him where they're certain they don't belong and aren't so sure they want to, which they all very quickly prove, because after the meal they go out into the night and the soldiers come to seize him who had just called them his friends, and they all ran away. Which makes sense given the fact that when the Romans crucified somebody hailed as Messiah, they would likely also crucify his friends. And he never blamed them for forsaking him. In fact, he knew they'd do it before he said, "You're my friends." And so, suppose he were to show up right now, here, and gaze out at us and say, "You are my friends." Would you be awestruck and moved, and your heart be lifted at least a little? I hope so. Would something in us also draw back, knowing that this is too much for us? We certainly wouldn't jump up to be that kind of Christian, so enamored of that friendship with Jesus thing that they think of him as their pal. You know the kind? Them and their invisible friend who's always talking with them and shares their political views and all their other opinions and makes their life just peachy keen. Some of you may recall a movie called Dogma. George Carlin plays an archbishop or something who holds a press conference to announce that the church has a new marketing strategy. He says, "The crucifix is depressing. It's scary, and Jesus would not want to give us the willies. The church has a new marketing plan. We will now replace the crucifix with the buddy Christ." And he unveils a new statue of Jesus with a gigantic grin on his face and a big thumbs up. When the living Christ says, "You are my friends," we see no such thing. In fact, when he says it, he actually makes it conditional. He says, "You are my friends if. Well, that's not how friendship works, is it? Do you have to meet my expectations for me to call you my friend? Actually, sometimes yes. And that's not about me, friends. It is about the truth that friendship actually is a two-way thing. Say you come to me and welcome me with your generous care and support and solidarity. You are for me, and you can rightly say to me, "I am your friend." But if nothing in me is caring and kind in response, then I can't say that I am your friend. Jesus was an artist in conferring friendships. He famously befriended all manner of people. That included very religious people who invited him to dine with them, and he happily did. It also famously included people who were widely disapproved of. He went to their homes, shared meals with them, gave them his companionship, and the people watching, who were all into the importance supremely of purity, did something you wouldn't think possible. They turned "friend" into a spiteful word. Friend of sinners. And didn't he look back and say, "You've got that right"? And so in him, God's love has come to befriend us, all of us, to be with us and for us, to accept and forgive and encourage and strengthen and lead us into what is good, what is eternally good. All this time, no matter who we were or where we went or how we succeeded or how we failed, how we hoped, what we lost, how we found happiness or horrors, and how we fell into fear and confusion. Through it all, though we did not know it perhaps, the Creator of the universe has come to say the impossible. I am your friend. And the one who was the very face of that friendship said to his disciples that night, and says also to us, now you are a friend to me. If you keep my commandment, and this is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you. I, your friend, have loved you well. Just give my love to each other, that is all, and you will have become a real friend to me. Frederick Buechner put it more simply, to be his friends, we have to be friends with each other. To be each other's friends means this, being for each other, pouring ourselves out for love's sake, accepting each other, forgiving, encouraging, strengthening, calling out the best in each other. And if, as he said, we're really to love as he loved, then we won't confine our friendship to inside the circle. We go and extend such gift of friendship to people who have known too much of the world's unfriendliness, who've experienced the world's hostility or indifference. We would befriend them with such joy and fervor that with luck, maybe somebody would accuse us of being friends to sinners. And maybe we could say, you've got that right. What a pleasure it finally is, yet what a challenge it is to pour out ourselves for others what Christ has poured out for us. To love like that is work. It can be costly. It can be scary. So of course we resist it. As Fred Craddock said, we can sing with feeling what a friend we have in Jesus, but who among us would say, what a friend Jesus has in me? And yet, on the night before he laid down his life, these were among the final words he spoke. I will call you my friends. He speaks it still to us. I won't call you servants now. You are my friends. See what honor the Lord Christ has conferred on us. It staggers the mind and swells the heart and sends us joyous to live in our new vocation, a friendship with each other, with the wide world.